You are listening to the best of Talk To Me on UncontrolledNoise.com. Make sure to tune in each Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, to UncontrolledNoise.com for 2 hours of the best conversation and metal on the internet. So I'm late calling you because I was playing the new Limp Bizkit track, kind of getting ready for this on here, and then somehow playing new Limp Bizkit on your live radio show wants to freeze up your computer. So yeah, we've had a good 4 minutes of wonderful half dead air as I try to fix stuff live on air.
Oh boy.
So Fred, but I used your line. Fred and the boys did it again, man.
They did.
I'm pumped. We got Lauren Kozlowski of the Roach Coach podcast on the line here. He is the czar of nu metal.
Oh, thank you.
So we got to talk some of the new Limp Bizkit. So what are your takeaways from the new Limp Bizkit song?
We're talking about Wastoid, right?
Yeah, Wastoid.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they are doubling down into hot riffs, which I'm all about. And just making it sound really thrashy and ugly, which I think is the key. They should follow that zen, as it were. I like the last Korn record, but the thing you can notice about it, though, is that it is a very clean record in comparison to the early stuff.
Right.
And with Limp Bizkit, with the exception of Results May Vary, you know, there's a nice little dirty thrashiness to it. Even like the big records, they still sort of like Wes has these sort of kind of nasty riffs going on, especially on Boiler, things like that. And then looking at Gold Cobra and Unquestionable Truth, I mean, he's just getting, you know, he's just following his bliss. And what's nice about hearing that, you know, just this taste of this first song, the vibe I got was, you know, he's just following his muse and just, you know, really just going wild on it. And everybody is just following on board. So, I mean, I'm excited to you know, hear it with like some lyrics, you know, to see what direction Fred's going to go. Because, you know, I mean, I'm down for some ignorant stuff, but at the same time, you know, I could see him going in a different direction. I'm excited either way. I'm eagerly anticipating everything they give us. So, and also I feel like it's very promising that they would, you know, give us this taste of Wastoid as the opener of their show and then go into Why Try from Gold Cobra, which is, I think, top five Limp Bizkit, even though it's from like a later album. And you know, if they're following that style, oh, this record's going to be front to back rippers. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, they've been pulling out some older songs lately and just really going deep in the catalog. And you know, you guys have been doing the Family Values tour CDs, kind of going over the set list from those. And the one thing that Limp Bizkit's kind of always been is they've always either played the hits or covers. They haven't really delved too much into their back catalog and to where they could actually fill out an entire show of heavy tunes and great songs, but they've always tended to play, you know, four covers within all of their songs.
Yeah, it's very surprising because I feel like their discography has enough hits that no one is, you know, demanding that they play covers, but they obviously love those songs. And, you know, when I saw them in 2014 and they did, you know, Rage Against the Machine and they did Parts of Thieves, it was very exciting. I mean, nobody was mad about it, but it is still surprising to me that they give up. They give over so much of their set to covers. I could see doing like a couple, but the fact that they do so many is still very surprising to me because I don't think I know Wes. I don't know if it was when Wes interviewed on your show or in one of his interviews around that time, but I remember him saying that the audience was not going to care about the older stuff and the deep cuts. But I feel like if they busted into Trust, the place would go apeshit. They'd go crazy. So, I'm a little surprised by the covers, but, you know, I mean, if they're, you know, they played what, Nobody Loves You or Nobody Loves, No One Loves Me, I guess the other day. So they're digging into some older stuff. So maybe somebody's going to get to hear Sour.
Right.
Or Stuck. Oh, boy. Oof. That'd be nice.
That's
That'd
some
be
real good stuff nice. Right there. Yeah, yeah. I need to go. I have an entire show from 97 on VHS that I'm sure really outside of a few circle of friends have not seen. But it's actually really well shot. I actually need to take the time and just get it onto the internet, you know, and see how that goes.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Absolutely.
And so let's get into a little bit more news here.
Okay.
I know because the I was looking at something else while we were kind of getting ready here, and it looks like the Slipknot fans have figured out who the new member is.
Oh, and okay. I know that they're very good at tattoo spotting because that's how they caught who the new bassist was, based on a tattoo on his hand.
Well, what's funny is what they've done here is they saw someone walking into the venue wearing a certain style of shoes, and that person is on stage later on wearing the same style of shoes. So they're saying that they figured out who it is, and they're calling him Tortilla Man. Which I believe Slipknot is the ones making that joke, because they've hashtagged, you know, Slipknot, Tortilla Man, the area, the O2 Arena, Prague, blah blah blah. Like they're adding that hashtag in there as a joke, I think, to mess with the fans.
So they know sort of who he is, but they don't know who he is yet.
Right.
Is
that, they're getting, okay. they found the shoes. They think he's the shaved head, bald haired guy. So they don't have a name yet, but they're getting close. But yeah, I mean, when the bass player and drummer, popped up a few years ago, they were quick on those hand tattoos that the bass player had.
Yeah, that one was pretty fast. And then I'm pretty sure they knew that it was Jay Weinberg for the drums, because I'm pretty sure actually that his former bandmates, who weren't thrilled about him, I guess like outed him on Twitter and basically said like that he was not fun to deal with in their old band, and good luck Slipknot with him being in your band.
Right. But
clearly he meshed better with them, because he's been in it now for, what's it been, 5 years?
Yeah, it's been a while now. Yeah, it's definitely been a while. So what are your thoughts on the newest Slipknot track? It's been out for a little bit, Unsainted.
You know, I'm down with it. I'm excited. I've listened to it a couple times, and it's hitting all the buttons that I enjoy. I know that I guess it's the hardcore maggots, as it were, are always going to pine for more Iowa, which I understand. But I've always enjoyed Corey Taylor's singing, so if he's going to be singing but still have the aggressive guitars underneath, I'm on board with it. I've never been a Stone Sour person, so it's not like I have some sort of Stone Sour
bias
or anything like that. I enjoy that mixing. It seems like a properly heavy track. I'm on board. I'm excited to hear what the album has to offer. I feel like I'd underrated The Gray Chapter. I went back to it recently and found it to be largely Crushers. I think for a long time when people had asked me about it, I said, yeah, it has Custer on it. That's it. Nothing else. And going back, no, there's a lot of good songs on it. Just Custer is just really, really excellent. And it is funny that like the first time I heard Custer, I thought, oh, this is a new classic. And they also realized that, because it's now like part of every set they do.
Yeah, I was a big fan. I like the new Slipknot stuff, the Unsainted. I was like, why are so many people getting upset about this song? It sounds like Slipknot. I don't know what the Slipknot they're looking for sounds like, but it's there. I mean, there might be a little bit more singing here and there, but for the most part, it's a Slipknot song. It's heavy. It's got the double bass. It's got the screaming. Yeah. It's got, you know, it's a Slipknot song, and it kind of goes on to, I guess I wanted to talk to you about some of the newer new metal coming out, and then the latest Korn single. You know, you and I were texting back a little bit back and forth, but I think it's a Korn song. I don't know what's wrong with everybody. Like, why, what exactly people are looking for in that either. Like, it's got all the classic Korn tropes that you need in a corn song.
I'm a little baffled by any sort of pushback on the new Korn stuff, because I feel like Korn's as good as they've been since 2003, right. 2002. This stuff is all great. Serenity of Suffering, I just listened to it again the other day. It's front to back. It's killer. It's great. And this new stuff, yeah, they still sound great. They got the same producer. This guy knows what to do with this band, and they love working with them, and you can feel that passion. Jonathan is coming from an incredibly dark place this time, probably darker. I mean, I think we're going back to like early albums level darkness here, yes. Just because of the stuff that's happened in his personal life. The most interesting thing, though, is finding I read an interview, I believe it was in Kerrang, just the other day, that Jonathan Davis basically does not record at all with the band and does all of his vocals by himself. And that's how it's been for like a long time. And he says it's fine. It works well. But he said that I can't pronounce the gentleman's last name, but the producer that Korn has been using, Nick Roselix or something like that. But he's based in Nashville, and Jonathan basically said that he does not gel well with him. He's like, we don't get along, but the rest of the band love him, and he gets great stuff. They love to just hang out with him, and he gets great stuff from them. So That's the existence when they record now, is Jonathan records all of his vocals in his studio with his own engineer, and they record the album in Nashville. So, which is, you know, pretty cool. And also Jonathan said the other thing was that he did not want to fly out to Nashville. He's like, I have kids, I have stuff going on out here. So, which I can relate.
Well, so. Nashville is a great place to take kids. So It's always fun. I was actually getting during the dead time trying to figure out my computer and what was going wrong with it. I was talking about the Roach Coach podcast, and do you have a character? Because Jenny and Matt have tons of characters, but when I was thinking about it, you don't really have any characters that you go into, do you?
Not really. I do generally supporting stuff where I'll just sort of be an incredulous person, or I did have like a brief moment where I was doing this sort of, I think I was calling him Johnny Roadrunner, who's the guy who's the head of Roadrunner, sort of like a slick record company guy.
Right.
But in general, I was actually thinking about this the other day, and I think a big part of it is just that I'm sort of running the show, so I by nature need to be a bit of a straight man.
Okay.
In these things, and even when I do improv and on stage, I tend to play straight man and don't necessarily dip into characters that much, so it fits my persona, and I'm fine with it. It's not like their characters are great. I mean, we got people messaging us about the fact that I'm mean to some of them. So I mean, people
lay
love
off
those characters.
A funky kin, man.
I gotta lay off this character. So yeah, it's fine. I'm good with it. Just sort of interacting with the various characters that Jenny and Matt create.
So for the people that don't know, and if you don't know now, you know, with the Roach Coach podcast, I mean, you guys break down a classic new metal record, find out if it's canon worthy, you know, if an alien came down from another planet, you know, is this the stuff you want to hear? You know, what's new metal? Here's what you need to listen to. So you guys go through all the albums and talk about every song and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, here lately, you know, you guys have been going through a lot of really good stuff, and you're actually hitting me with stuff that I've never heard of. So, you know, what's the process, I guess, of like trying to find all of this classic new metal?
Honestly, the initial list, I just thought of records that I owned. I thought I owned a lot of new metal. I came to find out that I did not. I'd only barely scratched the surface. And we get recommendations every day from listeners telling us about bands that we've never heard of, or bands that we didn't even know had new metal albums. We just got a message from a gentleman about Branky Benjamin, that their first album is new metal. And I had no idea. I'd never considered them a new metal band. I gave it a quick, you know, listen, just skim some tracks. Dude is right. It's pretty new metal. So yeah, we depend a lot actually on our listeners telling us about albums that they want to hear. We had kind of gone through a stretch where we were doing a lot of popular albums or just a lot of albums that we knew. And some people had said, like, hey, you know, you kind of are already deep into some of these bands' catalogs that we know. Why don't you do some more obscure bands that no one's ever heard before? And we found some very interesting stuff going that way that we'd never heard of, and had a lot of fun with just these bands that, you know, not only us, but a lot of our listeners had not really heard of either. So I think the best one recently that I really, really loved was this band called Addiction, a.k.a. Addiction Crew from Italy. Their album Doubt the Dosage, which is actually very hard to find. It's not streaming anywhere, and you can't getting a CD is almost impossible. I couldn't even find it on eBay for a reasonable price, I should say. And but they are doing, you know, sort of, I mean, derisively, I could say like ripoff Korn, but it's incredible. Like the drops are just monstrous. I listen to it still, like, you know, and when we do albums on the show, I'm listening, you know, a bunch of times during a week. So after we do an episode and I've, you know, done an episode, listened to it, edited it, I've heard the album like 5-6 times, I'm kind of ready to put it aside for a year. But that one I've been going back to. It's really, really great. So to answer your question, yeah, we just get messages from listeners telling us to check out albums, and if it strikes our fancy, then we put it on the list and listen to it. I mean, the selection process is not at all complicated. We will generally record an episode or two, and then I'll say to Jenny, anything you have in mind, and she'll say not really, and then I'll pitch her like three or four albums and she'll pick one or two, and then that's how we'll go, because I'm game for just about anything. Like you said, right now we're in the midst of a summer where we're doing every Family Values album, like one a month. So the next one we have coming up is Family Values 2001. That'll be coming out before the end of July, and then in August we'll do at some point we'll do Family Values, I believe it's 2006, I want to say. I'm looking over at my shelf, but I can't see. that's what we have going on. We are we have a bunch of things. We did something, I feel like it was probably 2 years ago. We did a nu metal book club with the first Soulfly album, and we all read Max Cavalera's memoir. And I have a couple other nu metal memoirs that I've come across in my travels, and we've been talking about doing another one of those. It's just that the prep time for that, because we have to listen to the album and read the book and just plan it all out, so it's a little more complicated. And you also have to make sure everybody's got a copy of the book. So that's something that we've been thinking about doing. And it's just been going along. Feedback is fantastic. We keep hearing from people, new people every day. I recently did a call in to the Best Show podcast radio show, where they were talking about nu metal, and they let me talk about it on air for probably 10 minutes. And then they let me promote the show at the end of our segment. And then I've been getting emails from old radio programmers telling me that they love the show, and that their history of nu metal and their stories. Everybody's got stories. That's the really crazy thing. Everybody's got some story, and we love to hear about all of them, because it's what we're into. It's what we're fascinated with. So, it's been very fun.
Yeah, it is a good time over there at the Roach Coach podcast. And the I think I went to the first Family Values. I saw two of those shows, and then I saw the 2006 one with Deftones and Korn. That was awesome too. Deftones, Korn, Stone Sour was also on that one, and like Flyleaf and Bury Your Dead was on that, I believe. Yeah, it was a good show, man. 2006 was a good one.
It's an interesting mix of bands on this one. There's a couple bands that we've Duran Gray is on there.
Yeah, I think I saw the first date of the tour and they couldn't get in the country. So, like, they had to cancel, like, the first couple of dates, so.
Yeah. Duran Gray, Flyleaf, and also, once again, Deadzy, man. They were getting every shot in the world, those guys.
Gramercy Park? What is that?
The Keys to Gramercy Park.
Yeah, that was a good song, but other than that, man.
That's the one song, man.
That's it. The only song. That's but it. Yeah, man, the show's been going really well. I think you guys are you've come into your own. I know you guys have 1,000 episodes, but you guys are definitely coming into your own. You can tell your friends. I love Matt's role and Jenny's role, and it's I've always said, and even before I talked to you guys and I found this show, that it's not a new metal show like you would think. It's a bunch of, it's like that Kyle thing that's on the internet with the Monster Energy drinks. Like, you assume it's going to be like three of those dudes like talking about new metal, but you guys come at it from an angle that's not not douchey, so I enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I kind of feel like that market was cornered, and also I kind of felt like we can come at it from a little bit of a frankly nerdier standpoint. I mean, we're a bunch of comedians doing character bits a lot of the time, but also speaking on it in a sincere way, because as we find with the feedback we receive in these episodes, this music meant a lot to a lot of people, and they enjoy the fact that we're taking it seriously, because nobody generally does. So that was kind of a big push, was let's take what's considered a pretty absurd genre and take it as seriously as we can. Obviously, we still have fun with it, but we're still engaging with it on what it intends to be. Because I think that's something that often gets kind of lost in translation in regards to a lot of different genres of music, is that people dismiss them outright when they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing.
I agree.
Yeah. So,
Lauren, we are coming up on the end of the show, so I want you to get your show plugs in before I have to sign off the air here.
Oh, okay. Well, you can find us, find Roach Coach on all of the podcast services, Apple Music, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. It's Coach with a K. And you can also find us at roachcoach.com. You can find every episode there, along with our merch. If you'd like to buy a Roach Coach shirt, we still have plenty of them. And we have a new episode every Wednesday. More new metal to come. You can reach out to us if you have questions on our Facebook and on our Instagram and our Twitter, where we're all Roach Coach. And you can send us an email at roachcoachpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from everybody about your new metal thoughts and your new metal recommendations.
All right, Lauren. Well, I appreciate you taking some time tonight on the live show, and I will talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, right, Josh.
Man. See you.
All right. Bye.
All right. Huge thank you to Lauren Kozlowski for coming on the podcast or on the show. Once again, I called it a podcast. It is not the podcast. It is the Talk To Me Live on UncontrolledNoise.com. Also, huge thank you to Loose Cannon of Cobras and Fire, which will be starting here in about 5 minutes here on Uncontrolled Noise. So you can always check them out after Talk To Me on UncontrolledNoise.com. And then also, once again, huge thank you to Chris Sinzak of the Decibel Geek Podcast, Rockin' Pod Expo. Hopefully see you there. If you want to reach out to me at Talk To Me Talk on Twitter, TalkToMeTalk@gmail.com, Facebook.com/TalkToMeTalk. So until next Thursday, I've been Joshua Toomey. This has been Talk To Me on UncontrolledNoise.com. Don't forget to check out Talk To Me live every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on Uncontrolled Noise.